We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. Like we never left. Oregon fans, what's going on? How we living? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ducks Dish Podcast. Glad you're here. However you're tuned into today's episode of the pod, got a great episode in store for you guys, talking about Oregon quarterback Dante Moore, who is next in line in Eugene. Also going to hop into a couple of updates from spring practice. The Ducks held their 7th spring practice in Eugene today, Thursday, April 11th. Coming to you from Long Beach, California. As always, it is a sunny day today in Long Beach, so nothing to complain about. Always good when you can talk some Oregon football, but thank you guys for being here. In case you're new, I'm your host, Max Torres, coming to you live on YouTube at Oregon Football Max Torres, as well as Twitter at M Torres Sports, and on my Facebook page, Max Torres, also at M Torres Sports. I don't know what it is, just in a good mood today, really getting excited about this next season, getting excited about my trip up to the Northwest, which will start in Seattle, Washington for another Under Armour camp. I covered the Los Angeles Under Armour Next camp, saw tons of West Coast talent last month, and I'll be back up to continue doing that next month before I get in a couple of weeks, actually, before I get back to Eugene for that last week of spring practice. So make sure to like, comment, and subscribe wherever you guys are tuned in to today's show. But I'm going to start off today's show by talking about Dante Moore, who spoke with the local media in Eugene for the first time since he transferred to Oregon. As you guys know, a lot of you guys probably know at this point, Dante's story is a pretty unique one. He was formerly a verbal commit to the University of Oregon in the 2023 class, where he was one of the top ranked quarterbacks in the entire country coming out of Detroit, Michigan. And he ended up flipping his commitment from Oregon to UCLA, spent his freshman year in Westwood playing for the Bruins before opting to enter the transfer portal and come back to Oregon. And man, you guys got to listen to Dante Moore's first presser at Oregon. I put it up on my channel if you guys haven't watched it or listened to it just yet. But I know when I woke up this morning, we get the little emails from the athletic folks at Oregon, and I saw Dante's name on there in kind of the rundown for guys that we're going to hear from today. And my ears perked up a little bit for sure, because I don't really think that many people assume or even think that there's any semblance of a quarterback battle going on in Eugene, but the Ducks have two really, really good quarterbacks. And I've heard some great things about Dante Moore and just how he's settling in up there in Eugene. And when Dante Moore committed to Oregon, there was this storyline about how, okay, Dylan Gabriel was already committed, the Oklahoma transfer. He only has 1 year of eligibility remaining, so obviously, he is your most likely choice for the starting quarterback to follow in Bo Nix's footsteps. But there's still plenty of competition in that room as far as just guys competing and pushing each other and getting after it every day in practice. And that was one of the questions, which funny enough was the last question in today's press conference, was just asking Dante, how do you feel about the competition? Is that something that drives you? I'm blanking on the reporter's name. I want to say it's Aaron, but I apologize for not remembering the last name. She asks awesome questions every time, but was asking about the competition, and that's a pretty competitive room at quarterback, obviously. And this is what Dante had to say, quote, competition really is what you should enjoy. At the end of the day, you're bettering yourself, bettering people around you. Like Urban Meyer just said out there, you got to put people in front of you. Don't be selfish. When it comes to competition on the football field, we know to lock in and just be thankful to even be playing football. So a lot of good stuff there. I think one of the ones that stood out to me was that former Ohio State, former Jaguars, former Utah head coach Urban Meyer is in Eugene for this weekend's upcoming coaching clinic at Oregon. But Dante's saying all the right stuff. Just a guy who's super down to earth, really grateful to just be there playing football. I think that constant theme of gratitude is one of the things that really stood out to me just from hearing from Dante Moore for the first time in that Oregon green and yellow. So it's really a selfless mindset, I think, that he's taking with him into this room, and that I think Will Stein is kind of cultivating in this quarterback room. And maybe I just feel like everything that we heard today was that he's there to make himself better and make the team better. And, you know, he comes to Oregon with, I think, the perfect situation, right? You get to learn from Dylan Gabriel and then probably be the incumbent starter in 2025. And he also took a little bit of time to reflect on his freshman year at UCLA, which, as we all know, if we watched football last year, it was a rough ride for Dante Moore in his true freshman season. And there were some other circumstances, some other factors that I think maybe weren't super favorable to him. The fact that they did have some movement at the quarterback position, he just didn't look comfortable. You know, was Chip Kelly putting him in the best situations to succeed in that offense? But he said that he learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes, but at the end of the day, all you can do is learn. That was one of the big themes. Constantly learning and constantly being grateful to just be there is what Dante Moore was really conveying in his press conference, his media availability, I should say, not a press conference, on Thursday. And he said that the interceptions were tough. That was kind of one of the things that stood out to him from his freshman year at UCLA. But in his freshman year of high school, he said he threw 12 interceptions, and then fast forward to his senior year where he's now one of the best quarterback prospects in the country, he only threw two. So he really kind of credited that to a degree, not to deflect blame or anything. He definitely took a lot of accountability, but he just kind of said, college football is hard, man. Like, everybody's good. And being around all this amazing talent at a variety of positions in Eugene is what's really going to help him get better. And he also had a feeling when he was at UCLA that maybe some of the coaches were going to leave, and that maybe it wasn't the best place for him to get developed. I'm paraphrasing here. Doesn't know if he's going to be able to get developed as well as he could. So now he finds himself in Eugene, and he was asked kind of about Dylan Gabriel, and he spoke to what it's like getting to be around a quarterback like Dylan Gabriel, who spoke with the media for the first time earlier this week as well. And let's see, what did I have here? Quote, DG, Dylan Gabriel, has been in college football for quite some time now. Really, when I first got here, no cold shoulder, no bad blood at all. I'm just thankful to be around him. He's taught me many things. I ask him many questions. We're always joking around, but really seeing what he's done in college football, especially playing at Oklahoma, big games, just trying to see ways I can learn. We're all competing at the end of the day, but really just trying to be better. Really just trying to better ourselves each day, having Dylan to ask questions, communicate to him about what looks he likes, things like that, is just a blessing to have. So Dante Moore is really leaning into this whole development factor, this development angle with Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. And I think, I don't know why I'm kind of thinking a little bit about Ty Thompson in this situation, because he had some great quarterbacks to learn behind. Obviously, Bo Nix is the main one that comes to mind, but he didn't really have a path to playing time. And I think that it's different for Dante because he's already seen the field. He's already been able to separate himself in that year at UCLA. He was able to separate himself from some of those other guys in the room to be not even the next best guy, but the best guy that they had right away. So I think there's some different situations there, but just from all the hype and chatter we've heard this offseason about Dante Moore at Oregon, it really just feels like he's leaning into everything. He just seems super happy too. He's and that's what I've heard, is that he's kind of like a kid in a candy shop at Oregon. And I've heard that he's just looking really, really good in practice. So I think there's not much more you can ask for when you're looking at Dante Moore coming back to Oregon. That's got to be one of the biggest offseason wins in college football. If you're just looking at player acquisition, talent acquisition, going into the transfer portal to get two of the top quarterbacks in the entire country. Huge, absolutely huge. So, and Dante Moore has more experience than any other quarterback on the roster, not named Dylan Gabriel, which is a good position to be in. And then he also talked a little bit more about the background behind his decision and what it's been like coming back to Oregon. And it really feels like he's just been embraced. He talked about how he went on the record saying that he decommitted from Oregon because of the Dillingham departure. And that relationship when you're a quarterback with your offensive coordinator is just huge. It's super important. So I think we kind of already knew that. I've been saying that that was probably why, but we got a little bit of clarity there. And he said that once he entered the transfer portal, he kind of already knew where he was going. And that he had reached out to Dan Lanning once he hit the portal. So that was kind of cool. And he also mentioned that the Big Ten was a factor in his decision. And why would you not think it would be, right? This is another guy that comes to Oregon. I shouldn't say another, but a guy who comes to Oregon from the Midwest, Detroit, right? Oregon hasn't really recruited that area super heavily, but now he's going to be able to have his family out at games more. And he said he's going to have like a ton of family when the Ducks go out to Ann Arbor to play Michigan this year. So that's something to look forward to. Having your family coming out is going to be big. And then the last thing I kind of have here on Dante Moore is that he's kind of been able to be around these guys in the 2023 class that he recruited, right? Guys like Jurion and Kyler Casper reclassified, but that's another one. Seeing guys that he was around when he was in high school, it really kind of feels like it's all coming back together. And I don't think you could have written the story up, drawn up a better story in terms of Dante Moore coming back to Oregon. Brooks Durham, longtime listener, frequent viewer of the program, is here in the chat. Brooks says, if this were soccer, you could say Oregon loaned out Dante Moore to UCLA for playing time, but now he's at Oregon. Now he's back at Oregon for good. I'm not much of a soccer guy, but it's just super cool that that he's back at Oregon. And we've seen some connections with Oregon and UCLA, obviously with Chase Cota being a guy who came from UCLA to Oregon as well. And then now Brian Addison, the former Oregon safety, goes from Eugene back home to Los Angeles for his final year of college football. So we're here on a Thursday talking some Oregon football. Glad to have you guys here. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe wherever you're listening. We have another question here from RP. RP says, could Dante Moore steal more minutes from Dylan than we expect? I think the spring game will be revealing on how they have progressed within the system. I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I think if there's a quarterback that's going to push Dylan Gabriel, it's obviously going to be Dante Moore. And I think he is an incredibly smart and talented player. So for those reasons, he's a guy that he's probably the player I'm the most excited to see in the spring game. And admittedly, it's going to be a little bit hard, right, to get a true feel for where Dante is at, because we don't know for where any player is at, right? Because we don't know how the teams are going to be split up. You're likely not going to have a starting offensive line on either side of the on either team, I should say. So seeing what Dante Moore can do with this kind of, I don't want to say hodgepodge, but with this unique looking team, I think is going to give us a sense of where he is truly at in his progression. But I think he's got to be comfortable just because of that playing time that he had at UCLA. So maybe he will be farther ahead than some of us think And I don't think that he should be overlooked in this quarterback room. Do I think that he's going to start this year? Not necessarily. I don't think I find myself falling into that line of thinking or that train of thought. But if you're Oregon, I would absolutely try to get those four games of action in for Dante, because that's really going to serve him well and only aid in his development. Thanks for the question. But we're going to talk about Drew Maringer, the Oregon tight ends coach, because he spoke with the media for the first time today since the end of the 2023 season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And one of the big focuses, of course, of the tight end position here for the Ducks has been true sophomore Kenyon Sadiq, because Kenyon Sadiq didn't play a ton as a freshman, but he played enough to burn his red shirt and he made some good plays. Okay, he played in all 14 games. This is according to his bio on Go Ducks, so that's on me. Played in all 14 games for the Ducks as a true freshman. He caught 5 passes for 24 yards and a touchdown. We all know that he found his first touch. He got his first touchdown against Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl. But I think that he signed with Oregon coming out of high school at Idaho, right? As kind of an under the radar recruit. He was a top player in Idaho, but we know that Idaho isn't necessarily known for producing really top tier talent. But this is a guy that I think is going to impress a lot of people. And Drew Maringer was asked about Kenyon and kind of where he's at here in the spring. And he said, quote, "The challenge for Kenyon, year one as a freshman, you're just trying to figure it out, especially at our position. You got to know the run game. You got to know the pass game. It's not just get out there. You always have the corner or whatever it was as a wide out when he was playing in high school. Your blocking rules are a lot simpler. Once you start getting in the core and interacting with the offensive line," this is in college, right? "It's a lot more complicated. He's a super smart kid, prepares really, really well. The best thing about him, he's extremely competitive. He's hard on himself, sometimes a little too hard on himself, but he's really, really matured and he's finding a nice role. These two older guys, credit to Pat and Ferg, have done a really good job of integrating him." So that's a huge part of why I think Oregon's in a great position with their tight ends, because they have Terrence Ferguson and Patrick Herbert here to mentor the young guys. And we're not even just talking about Kenyon Sadiq. You have two guys that you signed in the 2024 class that are true freshmen early enrollees in Roger Saliapaga and AJ Pugliano. I think AJ Pugliano has been a little bit banged up, but Roger Saliapaga looks like he's been a full go so far here in the spring. And Maringer went on to say that Kenyon Sadiq's just hungry to get on the field, and that game experience is really what's going to get you to where you want to be. And another kind of small thing that stood out to me about Kenyon was that He said he came to college at 219 pounds. We kind of all knew he was an undersized tight end, maybe more of a wide receiver hybrid even at times, just the way he was used. Super big play offensive weapon for his high school. But now he's up to 240 pounds, which is much healthier in terms of where you ultimately want to see a tight end weight-wise at the college level, right? So now that he's put on that weight, the challenge has been, how do I keep that weight on? How do I put that weight on and not lose speed? Because Kenyon Sadiq is one of the fastest tight ends I think we've seen at Oregon in a while. Not that he's had a ton of opportunities, right? It's not like he has a bunch of catches and a bunch of targets that he got to take advantage of as a true freshman, but just the couple times that we saw him get utilized on some of these fly sweeps, Bo Nix pop pass in the Fiesta Bowl, he's got some burst, and that dude can move. I mean, some of the people that I've been talking to this offseason, they're telling me that he's one of the fastest guys on this team, and that's saying something for a tight end. It's kind of like the whole deal with Devin Jackson, right? Devin Jackson is one of the fastest guys on this team, and he's a linebacker. Like, you, when you think about the fastest guy on a football team, I think you're usually thinking, what, wide receiver, running back, corner, guys like that. You don't really think tight end, or even in Devin Jackson's case, a linebacker, but that's the kind of athlete that Oregon is recruiting, that Oregon is bringing to Eugene. And I think when you think about elite athletes and guys that can do a little bit of everything, more so lately, you've been thinking about defense, right? You've been thinking about Jeff Bossa. You've been thinking about Jamal Hill, who made that transition from safety to linebacker. Credit to Drew Maringer, and credit to Will Stein and the rest of this offensive staff, because they've brought in some special guys themselves. And I think Kenyon Sadiq has to be one of those top guys. I think he'd probably be one of those top freaks, if you want to call him, right? You know, Bruce Feldman comes out with his top freaks in college football before every season. And I think that Kenyon Sadiq's there. And I want to see what's in store for him in his second season with the Ducks, because I think he could be a special player. Back to Drew Maringer and kind of what he had to say. Let's get a little bit of love for Patrick Herbert, huh? What do you guys think about Patrick Herbert? Let me know in the live chat. Let me know in the comments, because I think Patrick Herbert has been very unheralded as a key member of this team. He obviously battled a ton of injury during his time at Oregon. I think he's kind of had to blaze his own path, because his first couple years at Oregon, not only did he have the challenge of staying on the field, but he was in Justin's shadow, right? He was constantly referred to, I think maybe more so by the casual Oregon fan, as Justin Herbert's younger brother. But 2022 comes around, the first year of the landing era, first year with Maringer, new position coach, and he gets his first full season completely healthy and makes some good plays. I think the Cal game out in Berkeley was probably the one that was really his staple game from that year. But now he comes back as a key cog of this Oregon offense. And maybe he's not making a ton of amazing plays with the ball in his hand. He's not making these wild one-handed catches or anything. But I've watched a ton of film during the offseason of this Oregon team from last year. And Patrick Herbert made some really stinking good blocks, like just some really good pops that just opened up some wide open running lanes for these rushers, for these running backs. And I think that he is someone that we got to have circled on this offensive roster, this offensive two deep going into this year, because he's going to be a special player. And Maringer today was really adamant about just how valuable Patrick Herbert is to this offense, right? Here's a quote. He catches the ball unbelievably well. He's a linchpin in what we do offensively. If we didn't have Pat right now, we would have to change a few things, because Pat's role and what he's done for us, he's captain consistent. If you go look at his grades, they're like identical every single week. He doesn't make very many mistakes. And if he does make a mistake, he rarely makes it twice. You can always count on Patrick Herbert. So, man, some love for Patrick Herbert, captain consistent. And in a lot of ways, he does kind of carry himself like Justin, right? You know, pretty quiet, pretty pretty short when it comes to some of the times we've got to hear from him as far as media availabilities go. But if he could take another big step in 2024, I think that would be awesome, because Terrence Ferguson, you kind of know what the Ducks have in him. Really solid playmaker, red zone kind of weapon. Maybe a guy that's going to get some more targets this year. But Patrick Herbert has been kind of your more traditional tight end, not someone who's super pass catching heavy like Terrence Ferguson, I think, is. And it's been cool to see Patrick Herbert kind of come into this bigger role, because the Ducks signed Terrence Ferguson and Malik Yamatavau in the 2021 class, and both of those guys saw the field quite a bit as true freshmen. And then Cam McCormick has been around, obviously. Now he's at Miami, but he'd been at Oregon forever. So it was kind of a difficult path for Patrick Herbert to find a relevant role at Oregon. And that's his health aside, if you're not even looking at his health. So going to be really fun to see what Patrick Herbert can do this upcoming year. And then kind of the last point from Maringer here, before we get on to our next topic here, he talked about really just the benefit of having both of these veterans in the room, right? Terrence Ferguson and Patrick Herbert, just the benefit of having those veterans in the room to help the young guys develop. And then more importantly, if you're looking at 2025, right, you have to think that Kenyon Sadiq is going to be one of the key contributors at this position. And this is a guy that isn't starting from zero. Kenyon Sadiq, like I just told you earlier in this episode, played in all 14 games last year. And he is somebody that the staff kind of has circled, or at least that they're thinking about in the back of their head, right? We need to get that guy the ball more. I don't know how we're going to do it necessarily. Not right now, not in April, but come August, come September, Kenyon Sadiq's got to get the ball in his hands more. So Kenyon Sadiq isn't starting from zero, and that's really beneficial for this team. How about some more on Kenyon Sadiq? Because we got to hear from him. I think it was the first time since he's been at Oregon today from the media availabilities. We have another comment from RP. I think T. Ferg could be my favorite player on the squad right now. His dedication and growth with the team has been special. Yeah, I love Terrence Ferguson. He's been really fun to watch, really fun to cover. I think his ability as a guy that you can kind of move around, maybe even put in the slot at times as a really big tight end, you know, 6'5", 250 area. He's been great for the Ducks. And I think he's really leaned into that role. And he's probably going to be one of the better tight ends that the Ducks have produced in recent memory, right? So for him to really buy into this entire process after coming to Oregon back in 2021, I think is just a testament to the player he is and the ceiling of his ability. So for Kenyon Sadiq, we already talked about how one of the biggest things with him coming to Oregon was how he was kind of undersized and he's needed to put on weight. He talked about one of the hardest things for him has been just kind of adjusting to that inline blocking. But it feels like he's getting more comfortable heading into year two, saying, quote, "The game is slowing down a lot the older you get. Terrence and all those guys are helping me out. Overall, I feel much better at getting to the point where coaches want me to be in the end goal." So this is, I'm trying to think if he was an early enrollee, because I think he might have been. But either way, this is his first full traditional college offseason, and he's got to be more comfortable, whether that's the playbook, whether that's just physically in his own body. I think Maringer and Sadiq, I think, talked about just getting that early start and some momentum on his side, getting into the end zone as a true freshman. It might have been a small detail for fans that are watching the Fiesta Bowl. I know a lot of people were bummed that it wasn't a playoff game that the Ducks ended up playing in. And it was, I don't know, it was a game that maybe lacked some excitement, lacked some fireworks. I mean, they blew the brakes off of Liberty. But that was one of the big positives from that game, to get a young guy like Sadiq the ball and show some confidence in his abilities. I think that's only going to help him enter the 2024 season with some really good momentum and learning around those older guys, like we mentioned. And Sadiq also had an interesting little nugget he was asked about Gatlin Bear, the 2024 five-star Oregon wide receiver signee out of Burley, Idaho. Sadiq was saying that they played on the 7-on-7 circuit. They kind of ran into each other over there. And he said, quote, about Bear, probably the most athletic kid I've ever met in my life. He was also asked about who's the better athlete. And he said, quote, I'd give it to him. There's not very many guys in the world that can do what he does. So Gatlin Bear isn't going to be joining Oregon until the 2026 season. I know that's a bit of a bummer, but he's on his mission and doing his thing over there. And Oregon's got plenty of wide receiver talent in the meantime. But we've talked about some good stuff here today, right? Dante Moore, I think he's a gem. He really is. I think if you haven't listened to him, you just have to listen to that press conference. I love the way he carries himself. Just a really mature young man. I don't think he sounds like a redshirt freshman. I guess it would be a true sophomore right now because he used his first year of eligibility out there in Westwood. But I think he's really taken that experience at UCLA for the better. He knows it wasn't his best year. He knows it wasn't him putting his best foot forward necessarily, not the best product, not the best play that he could have had, but he's determined to grow from it and use it to springboard his career forward. I'm trying to think of any other notes that maybe come to mind here. We can talk about hoops just for a second. I mean, we don't really talk about hoops too much here, but Tony Stubblefield has rejoined Dana Altman's staff in Eugene for Oregon basketball. And now we're trying to see, following the transfer of Dario Oquendo, pretty sure that's his name. Gosh, I really hope I'm saying that right. Hold on, sorry. Cario Oquendo. Gosh, that shows you that I don't really cover that much hoops, so apologies. But Cario Oquendo, there were reports yesterday that he intends to enter the transfer portal. So we're seeing a bit of movement as far as that roster here in the offseason. But I think things are going to get crazy with the college football transfer portal. A lot of people are already hitting the portal, and I don't even think it's technically open yet, but there's a lot of stuff going on as far as the portal goes. Going to be curious to see how active Oregon is in the transfer portal. I think we're probably going to see some departures. We know that offensive lineman Michael Wooten, who signed with the Ducks in the 2022 class, was the first one here in the spring to announce his plans to enter the transfer portal. But the Ducks are over the scholarship limit, I want to say at least by 5 or 6 players maybe. So whether we see those announcements here in spring practice or after the Ducks end spring practice on April 27th, I think we'll have some more clarity on what this Oregon roster looks like, because they'll have some of those conversations, I believe, when the spring comes to an end, just about where this guy stands on the roster, where they see him kind of stacking up in the depth chart, what's the path to playing time, if there is one. But I think that the Ducks are doing the right things. They're managing this roster incredibly well. They have one of the most talented rosters in all of college football. You don't really see any glaring weaknesses as far as any particular position. I think right now, Josh Pate said it the best. It's not a weakness or a concern in the spring necessarily, certainly not for Oregon, but question marks. I think you got some question marks on the interior D-line. You have some question marks as far as just who your starters are going to be at cornerback for the Ducks with just so much talent. I think you probably have Jabbar Muhammad or Cam Alexander, Jaleel Florence, Nico Reed, Dante Manning, some guys like that. But then what kind of a step forward can a Dalen Austin, a Roderick Pleasant make? Are some of these young guys going to see the field early? Dakota Fields, Ife Obadegwu, who's going to join the team, it looks like, after spring ball. Sione Laulea. There's just so many guys in that secondary that we're kind of waiting to see what their roles look like. Who else steps up at safety? Colin Gill, Cody DeCambra, Tyler Turner, Brandon Johnson, who's more of a nickel star guy coming over from Duke. There's a lot of questions that we're going to get answers to, but that's part of what makes spring ball so much fun, that unknown and just that intrigue and excitement. But I think that's going to do it for me here on today's episode of the pod. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. Make sure to lock in with me on social media at MTorres Sports on both Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at Oregon Football Max Torres. Read me over on Ducks Digest and share the show, share the Ducks Dish podcast with your friends, with your family, and with other Duck fans. But again, appreciate you guys for being here and taking some time out of your day to talk some Duck football with me. And we'll catch you in the next episode of the Ducks Dish podcast.